We thank you. We thank you for sending your son Jesus down here to die on the cross for each one of us. Lord, as Christians, we desire to seek your presence. Lord, we want to be in the throne room with you. Lord, you want us to be on this earth, but not of this earth, Lord. We long for the day when you take us home, Lord. But until then, we will seek your presence here and seek to spread your word here. Lord, reveal your message for us today through me. If anything that is not of you, Lord, let it not be even heard. Lord, we look for your guidance, for your leadership in our lives. And Lord, we seek your presence today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Like I mentioned, that is my message for today, seeking God's presence. The problem with that, seeking God's presence, is it is so difficult to attain because God is perfect and we are sinners. But there is a way there. I'm going to start with a short little thing. This is out of a short little booklet called Passion with a Purpose. And it's a little message called The Standard. And this is the standard that God sets for us. And this is the verse. And what God wants is for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all time. Only the holy will see God. Holiness is a prerequisite to heaven. Perfection is a requirement for eternity. We wish it weren't so. We act like it isn't so. We act like those who are decent will see God. We suggest that those who try hard will see God. We act as if we're good, if we never do anything too bad, that we'll see God. And that goodness is good enough to qualify us for heaven. It sounds right to us, but it doesn't sound right to God. And He sets the standard. And the standard is high. You must be perfect just as your Father in heaven is perfect. You see, in God's plan, God is the standard for perfection. We don't compare ourselves to others. They are just as fouled up as we are. The goal is to be like Him. Anything less is inadequate. God gave us His word as an example to follow. And He sent His Son down here as an example for our goal to seek to be just like Him. There's a verse in Romans, the righteousness come from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God gave us an out. He gave us a way to place all of that sin so we could reach that perfection as He set the standard of perfection. He sent Jesus to be our bridge, to die on the cross, to bridge sinners and perfection. But even as after we accept Christ as our Savior, we still build barriers in our lives that keep us from truly being in God's presence all the time. One of the barriers to being whole or holiness or being whole in Christ is failure to accept ourselves. Even though Jesus paid the price and God, through Jesus, looks at us as perfect, we still condemn ourselves, and the enemy condemns us, and we listen. There's another verse that I want. And Jesus said to his disciples, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must put aside your selfish ambition, shoulder your cross, and follow me. If you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find true life. And how do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul in the process? Is anything worth more than your soul?" That's there in Matthew 16. It tells us that we need to die to ourselves and give it to Jesus. There's no way that we can be perfect on our own. The only way to perfection is through Jesus and through faith. But also, we need to quit condemning ourselves and listening to the enemy as he tries to bring up old sin that God has already forgiven us of. I want to look at another verse in Romans 6. "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin." That's saying that that old sin nature that came all the way through the bloodline from Adam and Eve, Jesus broke that bloodline. He was born of incorruptible seed, where we were born of corruptible seed. If we accept him, we just had a gene transplant, and he just replaced all of our genes all the way back through to Adam with his. All we need to do is accept that gift. Here's another verse that, "For sin shall not be your master, because you are not under the law, but under grace." The closer we come to God, the more fully realized that he alone is our righteousness. Try to be good enough for righteous by ourselves is trying to bypass the cross or make Jesus' death meaningless. So we need to accept his free gift that he gives and place all of our burdens, all of our sin at the cross and leave it there. Okay, another barrier to wholeness in Christ or holiness is we fail to forgive others. We fail to forgive each other. Matthew 6, verses 14 and 15. "If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." So in order for us to get forgiveness from the Father, we need to forgive each other. We need to forgive these people that do things that aren't Christians, that sin against us, that hurt us, that point their fingers at us. We need to give it to God, and we need to forgive them. We need to lay that at the cross also. Another verse. Matthew 11:24. "Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." When we don't forgive each other, the Father doesn't see the love in our hearts, and he doesn't forgive us. If we don't give other people the same courtesy God the Father does, then he doesn't give it to us. So we need to forgive each other. That's a barrier to us becoming whole and Christ-like. For didn't Jesus on the cross, even as they nailed him, and even as he was there on the cross, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Forgive them. So we need to forgive each other of sins that people commit against us. Another barrier is failure to receive forgiveness. I have a verse, 1 John 1:9. And everybody probably knows this one. "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." The Father said right there, if we confess our sins, He will forgive us. So we have to confess with our mouths our sin every day. Just thinking it a lot of times doesn't work, especially if you're under attack from the enemy. The enemy does not hear our thoughts. Only God hears our thoughts. But if the enemy is attacking you, you need to take the power of God and the cross and Jesus' blood and rebuke the enemy with your lips, not with your mind, because the enemy doesn't hear your mind. You need to open your mouth and rebuke the enemy. Also, if we don't receive forgiveness from God the Father, we're still under the law. And in Romans 10, here's a verse that says, Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. The man under the law will always feel guilty. He does not receive forgiveness because he is still trying to be good enough on his own merit. He strives to be perfect on his own. And as we know, we can't be perfect on our own. Jesus was the only perfect man. He is our example, and we should strive for perfection, but we need to give up our striving and just give it to God. Just lay it at the cross. Realize that no matter what we do on our own, it's not going to be good enough. It's not good enough for God. It's not good enough for Jesus. We need to just give it, put it all down at the cross. I want to repeat this verse. For what we want is inner healing. And the only way to inner healing is a continuous process. Yes, if you are saved, if you are a Christian, the Lord took away all your sin. He washed it away on the cross. But even if you're a Christian, we are all still sinners. And we still sin most every day, because we're not perfect. So we need to remember to repent and confess our sins. I'm going to repeat this one. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. It's not just a one-time deal. We need to do this continuously. We need to pray continuously. We need to pray to ask Christ into our lives for His presence, for the Holy Spirit to guide us. We can't do it alone. We need the help of each other as Christians, and we need the help of the Holy Spirit to lead us so that we can spread His word throughout the world, so that each person will come to know or make that decision. I love Jesus or I don't. There's no middle ground. We're either for Him or against Him. And everyone needs to make that choice. And we need to spread the word around the world so everyone has a chance to make that choice before He will come back. There's a couple of verses that in my study, getting ready for this message, that I wanted to share that along these lines. And I'm going to put them up here. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Just as what I've been saying, we can't do it on our own. We have to let the old sin nature die with Jesus on the cross and go on and be seen by the Father as perfection only through Jesus and His blood. There's another verse, Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for Himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. This is just another verse that echoes, reinforces what I've been saying. We need to give it all to God. We need to lay it at the cross. We can't do it on our own. Another verse in Titus 3, the first part of the chapter, 1 through 7. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, and to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and to show true humility towards all men. At one time we were too foolish. We too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior appeared, He saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by His grace, we might have become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. I long for each one of you to know Jesus as their Savior. I long for each one of you to feel His presence daily and to seek His presence daily. I guess I hadn't totally planned this, but if you would, please stand and let's pray. I want to pray a salvation prayer. If there's anybody here that is not saved, just repeat after me. And if you are, you know the words already. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Son Jesus. Lord, I am a sinner. Repeat after me, please, everybody. I am a sinner. Lord, I am not perfect. Lord, as sinners, we do not deserve Your grace. But Lord, You sent Your Son Jesus to die on the cross for me, so that I could claim salvation through the blood He shed on the cross. Lord, today, right now, I claim You through faith in Jesus Christ and the cross. Forgive me, Lord, of all my sins. And Lord, shine Your grace on me. Thank You, Jesus. And thank You, Lord. You may be seated. But I'm going to continue to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for each one here. Lord, if there's anyone that has never made that commitment to You before, Lord, we thank You that You touched their heart today. Lord, we pray that if there is anyone, that they would let us know, and then that we could pray with them after. But Lord, I don't want to put them on the spot and have them raise their hand. But if they would like prayer, let myself or one of the elders know after the service that we can pray with them. Lord, thank You today. Thank You for Your Son. Thank You that we can claim salvation through the cross. Thank You that You give that gift freely, that all we need to do is accept it. Lord, we know through Your Word that we are all sinners. We all come short of Your glory. But Lord, we claim Jesus, and we claim Him and put Him in place of us. Lord, we ask that You see Him when you look at us, because we claim him through faith. Lord, we thank you today. We ask for your blessing on each and every one here today. And Lord, we ask that each one of our lives is a blessing for you. That the things we do in our daily lives will glorify you, will bring glory to your name. Lord, we praise you. We worship you. We give you our all. We give you our heart. We give you our soul. For you are perfect and deserving of anything and all we give. Thank you, Jesus. In his name, amen. I guess it was a little shorter than I thought it was, but some of this stuff that I've mentioned in this message today, if you're interested, there's many different ministries out there. Some of the deliverance ministries, Neil Anderson. This is a book, Restoring the Christian Soul by Leanne Payne. Some of the things that I mentioned in my message today came from here and came, obviously, most of it was from the Bible, but God's Word. But please do seek God's presence on a daily basis. Seek him with all your heart and all your soul. So let's close with a song. I know where it's a little quickly, but as they're coming up, I actually realized we forgot something today. Ross and Elaine didn't. They played the patriotic number, but we need to remember our veterans, and also we need to remember that freedom is not free. That if you've been to a national cemetery, how many of our soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, our veterans gave their lives for the price of freedom? And this being Memorial Day weekend, we recognize them and we live in a free country, but that freedom wasn't free. That freedom was paid and bought with a price. So is there any veterans? I know there's a few. Would you please stand and let me pray for you? As some of you or most of you know, I'm also. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these men and women that are veterans that have stepped out to fight for freedom. Lord, we also pray for all the veterans that have died in previous wars for this country, so that this country could be free. And Lord, I thank you for your warrior, Jesus Christ, who came down and fought the battle against the enemy and won our salvation. Lord, we claim him as our standard, as our leader, as our king in battle. And Lord, lead us as we battle the forces of the enemy. Let us not be deceived to think that we're not in a battle. Lord, keep us ready, keep us willing, and keep us able to fight each day for you, Lord, and for your word, and for freedom. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you, all veterans. You may be seated. But actually, I guess everybody else can stand up.